Yes, you have this?
Okay. Oh. I will praise the Lord. Yeah. That's good. I will praise the Lord. Yeah. It's a new teaching in the church here. Yeah. Yeah, I'm using it. Yeah, it was on. Just hit the button. It'll come back on. It went to sleep. Okay, we're back to the book of Philippians. Now, only about a third of you were here yesterday, so I have to do a little recap. So first, Gilbert did a brief class on Philippians chapter 1. He especially focused on verse 27 through 29, I believe it is. Because the theme there is unity. And he says, I want you to be of the same mind. And the question is, how can we be of the same mind? So then we had our lesson from Philippians 2. He tells us to have the same mind as Christ. And if we have the same mind as Christ, we have the same mind as one another, right? Because we start separated. But we go towards Christ, we come closer together. But then, Michael asks us, what is the mind of Christ? It says, it's to make yourself nothing. And Michael told us that that is counter-cultural. The mind of Christ is exactly the opposite of the mind of the world.
La pensée du Christ est exactement l'opposé de la pensée du monde.
It's kind of like in Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount.
C'est comme Matthieu 5, le sermon sur la montagne.
The way to joy is sadness.
Le chemin pour arriver à la joie, ça passe par la tristesse.
The way to be lifted up is humility. So Jesus started at the right hand of his Father.
Alors Jésus assis à la droite de son Père.
And he made himself nothing.
Et quitte de là-bas, il devait rien.
In other words, he made himself like us.
Ça veut dire quoi? Il s'est abaissé à notre niveau.
Because compared to God, we're nothing.
En comparant avec Dieu, nous sommes rien.
Yeah. But he hadn't lowered himself enough yet. It wasn't enough for him to leave the right hand of God and to live like a slave around a bunch of slaves. No, he died.
No, il est même mort.
The most shameful possible death.
La mort la plus honteuse possible.
That's the mind of Christ.
Voilà la pensée de
Christ. To put others above ourselves, right?
De mettre les autres avant nous-mêmes.
He said to consider others better than yourself.
Il dit considérer les autres mieux que toi-même.
Is that what the world teaches you?
Est-ce que le monde nous enseigne?
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Oh, you're better than they are.
Yes, you can train your good.
You're Cameroonian.
Cameroonian.
Whatever you are, pride. So that's what Michael talked about. Is how we have unity is by being like Christ. You know, I've been to a lot of conferences in my 38 years of being a Christian. And one thing I've noticed is we create the outline, but God always chooses the theme. God chose the theme this weekend. We didn't. We thought it was about leadership yesterday. You know what we found out this conference is about? It's about unity in Christ. None of us even thought of that. I didn't think of that. Gilbert didn't think of that. But God did. So now we find out what our conference is about. So now we're going to go to Philippians chapter 3. Now, I just taught like a 3 or 4 week class on Philippians very recently. And to me, this is the outline of the book. Chapter 1, to live is Christ. That's the theme of our conference. Paul said, to me, is to live is Christ. He says, if I die, that's okay. If I live, not as good, but that's okay too. Because if I stay here, I'll be serving you. That's the mind of Christ. Can you say that? Let's imagine a sentence. And I want you to be honest with yourself. Don't get all religious on me. Fill in the blank. Fill in the blank in the sentence. For me to live is. Money. Attention. A relationship. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. Part 2. Living like Christ. And that's probably the most important part of the book, because that's what it's all about. And then part 3, which is the part I'm going to cover. Part 3, the part I'm going to cover.
Okay.
Is putting your confidence in Christ. And if we're lucky, we'll have time to do Philippians 4, but I doubt it. Because I'm going to go for about an hour, and then we run out of time, I'm going to stop preaching. You know, I find it really funny. Let's read Philippians 3, verse 1.
J'aimerais qu'on puisse lire ensemble Philippiens chapitre 3 à partir du verset 1.
Just verse 1.
Philippiens chapitre 3, je lis le verset 1.
What does it say, finally or further, the first word? What's that mean?
It's like
finally. Oh, yeah, okay. Go ahead.
Au reste, mes frères, réjouissez-vous dans le Seigneur. Je ne me lasse point de vous écrire les mêmes choses, et pour vous, cela est sanitaire.
You know, I think it's pretty funny.
Je pense que c'est vraiment intéressant.
Paul says, finally.
Paul dit, finalement.
A typical preacher. He says, finally. my last point.
Mon dernier point.
And he's only halfway through the book. Typical preacher. And he says this. Rejoice in the Lord. Of course, that's one of the main themes of Philippians, right? Rejoice. But the message is not rejoice. It's rejoice in the Lord. So it's my job to ask you. What are you rejoicing in? What are you rejoicing in? Your accomplishments? Your good looks? Michael's not rejoicing in that.
Michael needs to rejoice for himself.
But maybe Raymond is tempted to rejoice in his good looks. What are you rejoicing in? Where does your joy come from? Where is your joy supposed to come from according to this passage? I hope your joy comes from the Lord. From knowing Him. From being saved. When you were baptized, God made you righteous. That's one of the central problems of the human condition. We say to God, thank you for what you gave us. But I want more. That was the problem with Adam and Eve in the garden. They had the whole garden, everything they could want. And they were walking with God Himself. And they had each other. God said, there's only one thing I don't want you to have. So every day they looked at that tree. Because for them, what God had given them wasn't enough. And that's the problem that Paul's addressing right here. So my question to you is, are the things that God gives you, are they enough? Or do you need more? Do you want more? Right now you're single. God allowed you to be single. You say, oh, if only I was married. If only I had a spouse. That's not rejoicing in the Lord. Because if God wanted you to have a spouse, He could give you one. See, that's the problem. We say to God, the things you have for us, that's not sufficient. So according to Paul, what will steal your joy? Everybody here wants to be joyful, right? Raise your hand if you do not want to be joyful. Okay, it's unanimous. According to Paul, what's going to steal your joy in Christ? It's relying on anything other than Christ. So that's what he begins to discuss in the next section. Let's read verse 2 through 4.
Lisons de verset 2 à 4. 2 à 4. Car les circoncis, c'est nous, qui rendons à Dieu notre culte par l'Esprit de Dieu, qui nous glorifions en Jésus-Christ, et qui ne mettons point notre confiance en la chair. Verset 4. Moi aussi, Cependant, j'aurais sujet de mettre ma confiance en la chair. Si quelqu'un autre croit pouvoir se confier en la chair, je le puis bien davantage. 3-4.
Yeah. 2-4, right?
Oh, 2-4.
Oh, very important. Verse 2, very important.
Oh, excuse.
Yeah, very important.
Excusez-moi, ça passe de verset 2-4. Il dit, prenez garde aux chiens, prenez garde aux mauvais ouvriers, prenez garde aux faux séconcis. Car les séconcis, c'est nous qui rendons à Dieu notre culte par l'Esprit de Dieu, qui nous glorifions en Jésus-Christ et qui ne mettons point notre confiance en la chair. Moi aussi, cependant, j'aurais sujet de mettre ma confiance en la chair. Si quelqu'un autre croit pouvoir se confier en la chair, je le puis bien davantage.
Paul says, watch out for those dogs.
Il dit, prenez attention. Il dit, prenez garde aux chiens.
Now, if you said that in India,
maintenant, si tu dis ça à l'Inde,
that'd be a compliment.
Les gens seront contents si tu le dis ça.
If you call somebody a dog in India, that's a compliment.
Si tu appelles quelqu'un chien en Inde, ils seront contents.
In some cultures, if you call a woman a cow, that's a compliment. Isn't that true? This is not a compliment. Do you get the sense that Paul's angry? Here's a good question. What makes you angry? That's a really, really good question. What gets you angry? When somebody takes advantage of you? When somebody disrespects you? What made Jesus angry? When people didn't forgive, that's what made him angry. That's in the parable of the unmerciful servant. You know what makes Paul angry? When people look for their joy from the world instead of from God. When they put their confidence in the flesh. He calls them mutilators of the flesh. Now, yeah, the ones who mutilate, I don't know. It's in verse 2.
The last verse.
Alright. What it was is some of the Christians were saying you have to get circumcised. What they said was the grace of God is not enough. You need to follow the law. You need to obey the Sabbath. You need to not eat pork. You need to circumcise your children, your male children. What they were saying is, the death of Jesus on the cross is not enough. Who were these people? They were Christians. They were members of the church. Who weren't relying on Christ for their salvation. Now, their problem is not our problem. You don't have anyone here trying to get you to obey the Old Testament. But here's the principle. What are you relying on? Where does your confidence come from? Let me tell you what it needs to come from. From the Lord. That's why I said, rejoice in the Lord. So I ask you again. What do you rejoice in? And a question that's actually closely related. What makes you angry? Hopefully it's when people are not living according to Christ. And then Paul says, those guys, the circumcisers, says, they're not the circumcision. He says, we're the real circumcision. Because real circumcision is circumcision of the heart. Colossians 2, 11 through 15.
Et c'est en lui que vous avez été circoncis d'une circoncision que la main n'a pas faite, mais de la circoncision de Christ, qui consiste dans le dépouillement du corps de la chair. Ayant été ensevelis avec lui par le baptême, vous êtes aussi ressuscités en lui et avec lui par la foi en la puissance de Dieu qui l'a ressuscité des morts. Vous qui étiez morts par vos offenses et par les exécutions, les circoncisions de votre chair. Il vous a rendu à la vie avec lui en nous faisant grâce pour toutes nos offenses. Il a effacé l'acte dont les ordonnances nous condamnaient et qui subsistait contre nous et il l'a détruit en le clouant à la croix. Il a dépouillé les dominations et les autorités et les a livrées publiquement en spectacle, en triomphant d'elle par la foi.
Very good. So he says here,
il dit ici,
we're circumcised.
Nous sommes circoncis.
When did you get circumcised?
Quand est-ce qu'on a été circoncis?
God circumcised you.
Dieu t'a circoncis.
He removed that sin.
Il a enlevé ce péché.
When you were baptized. It's not a physical circumcision. Because Paul tells us physical circumcision is of no value. Romans 2, verse 28 and 29.
Nous lisons 2, 28 à 29. 28 nous dit ici, le juif, c'est pas celui qui en a le dehors. Et la circoncision, ce n'est pas celle qui est visible dans la chair. Mais le juif, c'est celui qui l'est intérieurement. Et la circoncision, c'est celle du cœur, selon l'esprit et non selon la lettre. La louange de ce juif ne vient pas des hommes, mais de Dieu.
So, real circumcision.
Alors, la vraie circoncision.
Is circumcision of the heart.
C'est la circoncision du cœur.
Yes. When you are cut to the heart by the death of Jesus.
Quand tu as été vraiment touché dans ton cœur par la mort de Jésus.
And you said to the one who was studying with you, what should I do? They said, repent and be baptized. And then you became the real circumcision. We are the true Israel. We're the real thing.
C'est nous qui sommes authentiques.
Why?
Comment ça?
Because we work so hard.
Parce qu'on a travaillé dur.
Because we prayed so long.
Parce qu'on a prié longtemps.
Because we denied ourselves so much.
Parce qu'on a tellement renoncé à nous-mêmes.
Is that what your salvation is based on?
Est-ce que ton salut est basé sur ça?
What's it based on?
Sur quoi est-ce que ton salut est basé?
It's based on Christ.
C'est basé sur Christ.
Everything we have is found in Christ.
Tout ce que nous avons est fondé sur Christ.
It's based on faith.
Basé sur la foi.
I wish I had time to go into Galatians chapter 4.
Si j'avais le temps, j'allais lire à partir de Galates 4.
21 through 28.
21 jusqu'à 28.
But let's just read verse 28 of Galatians 4.
Mais disons simplement le verset 28 de Galates chapitre 4. Galates 4, verset 28-28.
Yeah.
Il dit, pour vous, frères, comme Isaac, vous êtes enfants de la promesse.
Yeah, all of us are children of Abraham.
Nous tous, nous sommes les enfants d'Abraham.
By faith.
Par la foi.
Abraham believed.
Et Abraham a cru.
And it was credited to him as righteousness.
Et Dieu a imputé cette foi comme justice.
If God has made you righteous, what else do you need?
Si Dieu t'a justifié, de quoi est-ce que tu as besoin encore?
If God has put His Holy Spirit in you,
si Dieu a mis son Saint-Esprit en toi,
which is a deposit guaranteeing your salvation,
qui est le sceau qui garantit ton salut,
then what can the world offer you? No, let us rejoice in the Lord. So remember, the commandment is not rejoice, it's rejoice in the Lord. Now let's go back to Philippians chapter 3. We don't need to reread it. But Paul says about us Christians, we put no confidence in the flesh. Can you say that? Could you look your best friend in the eye and say, I put no confidence in the things of this world?
Je n'ai aucune confiance, je ne dépend pas des choses de ce monde.
Let's be honest with ourselves.
Soyons honnêtes avec les autres.
Probably nobody's going to raise their hand right now.
Je pense qu'il n'y a personne qui va lever sa main ici.
Praise God, He meets us where we are right now and helps us out. But that's the goal.
Mais le but.
No confidence in the flesh. Then Paul gives us a great example. We're going to read verse 4 a second time. And we're going to read all the way through verse 11.
Et on lit jusqu'à verset 11. Moi aussi, c'est pendant que j'aurai sujet de mettre ma confiance en la chair. Si quelqu'un autre croit pouvoir se confier en la chair, je le puis bien davantage. Moi, c'est aussi de la huitième jour, de la race d'Israël, de la tribu de Benjamin, hébreu, ni hébreu, quant à la loi pharisienne, quant aux zèles, persécuteurs de l'Église, irréprochable, à l'égard de la justice de la loi. Mais ces choses qui étaient pour moi des gains, je les ai regardées comme une perte à cause de Christ. Et même je regarde toutes choses comme une perte à cause de l'excellence de la connaissance de Jésus-Christ, mon Seigneur, pour lequel j'ai renoncé à tout, et je le regarde comme de la boue, afin de gagner Christ, et d'être trouvé en lui, non avec ma justice, celle qui vient de la loi, mais avec celle qui s'obtient par la foi en Christ, la justice qui vient de Dieu par la foi. Verset 10, afin de connaître Christ, et la puissance de la résurrection, et la communion de sa c'est sous force en devenant conforme à lui dans sa mort pour parvenir, si je puis, à la résurrection d'entre les morts.
That's really strange. Paul tells us, put no confidence in the things of this world.
Paul dit, ne pas mettre confiance aux choses de ce monde.
And then he lists all his accomplishments.
Mais en même temps, il se met maintenant à nous étaler son CV spirituel, tout ce qu'il a accompli.
He gives us his spiritual resume.
Il donne justement ce CV spirituel.
That seems like a contradiction, doesn't it?
C'est une contradiction. Pourquoi il parle de mettre confiance en la chair et il nous cite tous ses accomplissements.
Somebody comes up to you and says, all my confidence is in Christ. Then they pull out their diploma. And they pull out all their trophies. And they show you their nice house. And all their accomplishments. That would be very confusing. Why does Paul do that? I compare it to Solomon.
Moi, je compare à Salomon.
Except in a different way.
Mais d'une autre manière.
Because Solomon said,
Salomon a dit,
if the things of the world could bring joy, then I'd be happy.
Si les choses de ce monde pouvaient me rendre joyeux, heureux, je serais l'homme le plus heureux.
Solomon was more wealthy than everybody in this room combined times 10.
Il était plus riche que tout le monde ici, multiplié par 10 au moins.
He had palaces.
Il avait des palais.
Let's not even talk about his number of wives. He had armies that would march at his command.
Il avait des armées qui marchaient à ses ordres.
Building projects, huge farms, everything the world could ever want, and he was even good looking.
Il avait des bâtiments, des constructions, tout ce que le monde pouvait offrir, et il cherchait encore plus.
And what did he say?
Et qu'est-ce qu'il a dit?
Meaningless.
It is
all meaningless.
Vanité de vanité. Ça n'a pas de sens.
That's what Paul's doing, except in a different category. Because Solomon is talking about the stuff the world has. He says, worthless. Now Paul's listing his spiritual accomplishments. Said, if anyone has reason to put confidence in the flesh, but in a religious context, folks, it's me.
Si quelqu'un a raison de mettre sa confiance en la chair, mais dans le contexte religieux, c'est bien bon.
I'm more religious than all of you combined. Says, I was the Jew of Jews. How about that? The tribe of Benjamin. Taught by Gamaliel, the most famous rabbi in the world. He had like 15 letters after his name. PhD, THD, MS, blah, 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 blah. When it comes to the righteousness of the law, spotless. He says, you know how much that's worth? Garbage! He takes all those trophies, those diplomas, says, might as well throw them in the trash. Garbage. How do you feel about the world? How do you feel about the praises the world would offer you? How do you think about that amazing career you have? How do you think about that vacation you're going to take? or all the accomplishments on the sports field or whatever. Or how do you feel about the fact that you planted a church? And you know the Bible better than anybody else in the church. You know the Bible better than anybody else in your church. You're pretty spiritual. Paul says, garbage. Don't you put your confidence in your spiritual accomplishments? Paul said it was worthless. In fact, he says it's worth less than nothing. He says, Jew of Jews, Benjamin, Pharisee, top 2%, most zealous. He says, it's not just worth nothing. He says, I consider it loss. It's worth negative. It's worth minus 2 million, whatever the money is here. I forget the name of the money here.
Okay.
How do you feel about your accomplishments? Now, I've got good news. Because if you have those things in Christ, then it gives you joy. But the question is, what does your confidence come from? Paul said, it's garbage. In fact, the word is even stronger than that. The Greek word is more like manure. Poo-poo. Poo-poo. Everybody knows what that is, right? Caca? I mean, you know. Can I say that here? Yeah. They know what it is. Yeah. That's what he says the things of the world are. He says there's only one thing valuable. It's to be found in Him. He said, to me, to live is Christ. The only thing of value is to be found in Him. And it's kind of ironical. Because if you're in Him, some of those other things gain value. I mean, God raises you up and you do great things in the church. In Him, that's fulfilling. That's a good thing. That's part of what I talked about last night. So he says, we have a brand new accounting system. I don't know how many of you do computers. How many of you kind of do some stuff with computers? Alright? Not many, but those of you who do, you'll get my example. It's like if you have a new software package. Everything before is worthless.
Yes.
So becoming a Christian, it's like a new software package. It's like a new accounting system. Everything that was valuable before, garbage. It's being in Christ. And it's accepting the things not from yourself, but that come from Christ. And interestingly, that even includes some of the things that the world values. They value good food.
La nourriture, par exemple.
We get joy from good food also.
Et nous aussi, on mange la bonne nourriture.
But we accept it from Christ.
Mais on accepte comme venant de Christ.
It's not because you're so awesome.
Non, parce que tu es formidable.
Paul said, I want one thing.
Paul dit, je n'ai qu'une chose que je veux.
Only one thing.
Paul dit, il y a une chose, une seule chose.
Is to know Christ.
C'est de connaître Christ.
So that's my question.
Et voilà ma question.
That's Paul's question.
Voilà la question de Paul.
It's God's question to you.
Et la question que je te pose.
Is knowing Christ enough for you?
Est-ce que connaître Christ te suffit?
Or do you want more?
Ou bien tu veux plus?
Paul said, knowing Christ is better than all those other things. He said in verse 8, it's loss. This word to know is not like knowledge, no.
Maintenant, le mot qu'il utilise ici, connaître, ou bien connaître Christ, c'est pas comme avoir de la connaissance littéraire et intellectuelle.
In Spanish, they have two words for know, so I assume they do in French as well.
En espagnol, ils ont deux mots pour connaître, et à connaître et savoir.
In Spanish, it's saber and conocer.
Et à savoir, saber is like savoir. Yeah.
So and conocer?
It's like know.
All right. We're talking about conocer.
So, alors nous parlons de connaître, pas de savoir.
To know intimately.
Connaître de façon intime.
In the Old Testament,
dans l'Ancien Testament,
the word is yada.
Le mot c'est yada.
It's the most intimate kind of knowing.
C'est une connaissance tellement intime, la plus intime.
That word is in the Old Testament 947 times. It's knowing intimately. It says that Adam knew Eve. And you know what he's talking about, right? That's a euphemism. That's what it means. We need to know Christ. We can have a deep, intimate connection with Christ. It's interesting, you could have the same list of accomplishments. Outside of Christ, garbage. In Christ, there's joy and satisfaction. Because God is our Father. He wants us to have all those things. Did you know that there are two ways for God to humble you? You can learn about it in Daniel chapter 4. There are two ways God can humble you. One, you're in Christ. You're rejoicing in the Lord. And He gives you many blessings. And you say, thank you, God. None of this is from me. But some of us say, you know, thank you God, none of this is from me, it's only from you. But some of us are like Nebuchadnezzar. Look at this awesome church we've built in Cameroon. Oh, we've done such a good job.
Oh,
oh, oh, we're so much better than those other churches. Oh, we have better doctrine than they have. We're pretty awesome. So that brings in the other way God humbles you. He takes it all away. Two ways for God to humble you. He blesses you, or he takes it all away. What's your choice? We want to rejoice in the Lord, right? We want to know Christ. Paul says, I lost everything. The fact that he was a great Jew, he literally threw it out. His pedigree, he ripped it up. Because only one thing matters. It's knowing Christ. Alright, next passage. Okay, where are we at? Yeah, I'm not sure what's that one about? Okay, let's read Philippians 3, verses 12. Wait a minute. Yeah. Sorry, I forgot the last part of verse 9 and 10. So I'm sorry, my fault. I got a little confused.
So,
just say, he was confused. One more point from this passage. He says, I want to know Christ. I want to be found in Christ. And then I gain righteousness. But not from the law.
Je deviens juste, pas par la loi.
Not from being righteous.
Pas par le fait d'être juste.
But God made me righteous.
Mais c'est Dieu qui m'a rendu juste.
And then he says,
et il dit encore,
and power.
Il dit aussi, je gagne de la puissance.
Not because I'm powerful.
Pas parce que en moi-même je suis puissant.
But because God made me powerful. See, God makes us powerful. The result of knowing Christ is to have power and to suffer, becoming like Him. Oh. That means you have to die. That means you have to go to the cross. That's right. Because if you know Christ, then you know suffering. We're not talking about the prosperity gospel there, that's for sure. Paul says one more time, I want to know Christ. To have the power of the resurrection. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is a lot more powerful than anything the world has to offer. And he says, somehow, to be resurrected. I used to think he said, I don't know. I don't know, somehow it'll happen. I think this passage, I used to think he was thinking, I don't know, somehow. But that's not what he means. That's not what he means at all. Go back to Philippians 1. He says, you know what, I think I'm going to be with you for a while. He says to die would be better, but to live would be okay too. He says, I don't know how to choose. oh, maybe I'm going to die, maybe I'm going to live. Remember, where is Paul when he writes this book? He's in prison. Isn't that amazing? A man who's lost everything and is in prison, he's telling us to be joyful. Because see, his joy came from Christ. So, when he says somehow to have the resurrection, what he's saying is, either I'm going to die now, maybe I'll die now, or maybe I'll die later. He says the only thing that's in doubt is the path. The result is assured.
Ça, c'est sûr.
Brothers and sisters, the end result of the road is already decided.
La destination finale est déjà décidée, frères.
How God's going to take us there, I don't know.
Comment Dieu va nous amener là, moi je ne sais pas.
That's what Paul's saying. My confidence doesn't come from the path.
Ma confiance ne vient pas du chemin qu'on va suivre.
My confidence knows that in Christ, the goal, the end is assured.
Ma confiance en Christ m'amène à penser que je sais que la destination est sûre.
So now let's read verses 12 through 14.
Alors lisons maintenant verset 12 à 14. Ce n'est pas que j'ai déjà remporté le prix ou que j'ai été déjà atteint, que j'ai déjà atteint la perfection, mais je cours pour tâcher de le saisir. Puisque moi aussi, j'ai été saisi par Jésus-Christ. Frère, je ne cesse pas l'avoir saisi. Je ne pense pas, pardon, l'avoir saisi, mais je fais une chose. Oublions ce qui est en arrière et me portant vers ce qui est en avant. Je cours vers le but pour remporter le prix de la vocation céleste de Dieu en Jésus-Christ.
Paul says, you know what? Not quite perfect yet.
Paul dit, tu sais quoi? C'est pas encore la perfection totale. C'est pas encore là.
But luckily, that doesn't matter.
Mais c'est bien aussi que c'est pas aussi important.
Because Jesus makes up the difference, right?
Parce que Jésus, il comble le vide, n'est-ce pas?
Are you good enough right now?
Est-ce que dans le temps où tu es maintenant, tu es bien?
Answer that question in your mind. Are you good enough right now?
Je voudrais bien que tu réponds à cette question dans ta tête maintenant. Est-ce que tu es bien là où tu es?
Based on you?
En se basant sur toi-même, tes efforts?
Not even close.
Ça, nous sommes tous très loin, n'est-ce pas?
Based on Christ?
Mais en se basant sur Christ?
Faultless.
Nous sommes sans tâche.
Righteous.
Nous sommes justes.
Wow.
So Paul says,
alors Paul dit,
alright, I think God's going to keep me alive for a little bit longer.
Okay, je pense que Dieu va me garder en vie pendant une certaine période.
So I'm going to press on.
Alors qu'est-ce que je vais faire?
I'm going to keep growing.
Je vais foncer. Je vais
I'm growing and growing and growing.
Grandir.
Why is he growing?
Pourquoi il grandit?
So he'll be more righteous?
Pour qu'il puisse être beaucoup plus juste.
No, that's the world.
Non, c'est le monde qui fait ça.
Our confidence is not in the flesh.
Notre confiance n'est pas dans la chair.
Now, I'm a science professor.
Moi, je suis professeur de science.
So I'm going to use a graph as an example, okay?
Alors, je vais utiliser une graphique comme exemple.
So, but I don't have a slide for this, so you have to use your imagination.
Vous allez imaginer ça, je vais faire une salade.
So up here, that's where we're going to be.
Maintenant, nous voulons être en haut là.
Paul says, this is my life.
Paul dit, voici ma vie ici.
I'm growing and I'm growing and I'm growing. And the day I die,
et le jour je meurs, j'arrive là-haut.
See, God sees you,
Dieu te regarde,
not as you are,
pas tel que tu es,
but as he's going to make you. He sees you as perfect already. So what should you do? I'm perfect. Well, you know, I'm good enough already. So why work so hard? Why share my faith so much? You know, why even bother? Paul says, that's terrible thinking. He says, I press on. I'm always growing. Because if you're in Christ, that's how it works. And then when you die, God makes you perfect. He fills in the difference. So Paul says, I pursue righteousness. I fight for it. I beat my body. I use all my energy. Not to be saved, but because I'm saved. Because the grace of God teaches us to say no to every kind of ungodliness. So how are you doing? Are you pressing on? Can you look back at the last year or two and say, hey, I've been growing? Not because I'm so great. But I've been pressing on and God has been changing me. So Paul says, maybe God will take me out next month. Like I said to the brothers when I was in Port Harcourt. They're driving around with a soldier and the blaring sirens and all that kind of stuff. I said, why are you doing that? Because you could get kidnapped. I said, what's the big deal about getting kidnapped? That'd be awesome. That'd be really cool. To get kidnapped for Christ. Now, I don't want to make a joke out of that. Because that's a terrible thing they're doing. And I don't mean to, you know, put that down or say, oh, that's no big deal. Because it is a big deal. But in Christ, it's not that big a deal. What's the worst thing they could do to you? Send you to heaven. And besides, all the disciples would go, did you hear about that brother? Did you hear about that brother was teaching in Africa? And he got killed? Wow, that's inspiring. Or maybe they wouldn't kill me. They said, let's have a fund to raise the money to get him out of those, you know. Because for me, to live is Christ. And to die is gain. And those are not empty words. I hope those are not empty words for you. And then Paul returns to the theme of unity. He keeps coming back to unity. Isn't that interesting? Now, I said I was going to go for 1 hour. And I think it's been about 55 minutes. Maybe 52 minutes. But I want to talk about this just a little bit more. So let's read verse 15.
Alors lisons verset 15, Philippiens 3, just 15.
Let's read 15 through the end of the chapter.
Okay, lisons à partir du verset 15 jusqu'au bout, fin du chapitre. Il dit, nous tous, donc qui sommes parfaits, ayons cette même pensée, et si vous êtes en quelque point de notre avis, Dieu vous éclairera aussi là-dessus. Seulement, au point où nous sommes parvenus, marchons de même pas. Soyez tous mes imitateurs, frères, et portez les regards sur ceux qui marchent selon le modèle que vous avez en nous. Car il en est plusieurs qui marchent en ennemi de la croix de Christ. Je vous en ai souvent parlé, et j'en parle maintenant encore en pleurant. Leur fin sera la perdition. Ils ont pour Dieu le ventre. Ils mettent leur gloire dans ce qui fait leur honte. Ils ne pensent qu'aux choses de la terre. Mais notre cité en nous est dans les cieux, d'où nous attendons aussi comme sauveur le Seigneur Jésus-Christ, qui transformera le corps de notre humiliation en la rendant semblable au corps de sa gloire par le pouvoir qu'il a de s'ajouter, de s'assujettir toutes choses.
Now, would it be fair to say that Paul set a high standard here?
Je pense que on n'exagère pas si on dit que Paul vient de mettre un standard vraiment élevé.
That's a pretty high standard.
Ça, c'est un standard élevé.
So how should you feel right now?
Alors, comment est-ce que toi, tu peux te sentir?
Oh, I'm a wretch. I'm the lowest of the low. I'll never get there. Paul says, you know what? You need to think the way I'm talking about. But he says, even if you're not with me, even if you don't fully agree with me, says, I'm not going to worry about it. No, we all have things to disagree about. We even have different understandings in certain areas about what the Bible teaches. And we can have division over those things. We can argue over those things that are not essential. But Paul says, we have a lot more in common than our differences. Here in Cameroon, you have your differences. But let's be honest about it. You have a lot more in common than you have different. You're more similar than each other. Than you are to Michael and I. Paul says, the things that we already know, let's just do them. Just read your Bible. Love one another. Can we agree on that? Paul's not all that worried that they're not all in exactly the same mind. The goal is to think the same. To have the same mind and thought. So when is that going to happen? Well, not in this life. But brothers and sisters, what do we have in common? We have Christ. We have our salvation. We have the faith delivered to the saints. Couldn't we have unity based on the things we agree on?
Est-ce qu'on peut être unis en se parlant sur les choses sur lesquelles nous sommes d'accord?
And can't we lay aside the differences?
Est-ce qu'on peut mettre de côté les différences?
Because here's one thing I know for sure. The more we become like Christ, the less different we'll be from one another. So Paul says, the solution to division is to keep doing the things you already know to do. Then he says, follow my example. Did we read all the way through 21? I can't remember. All right, great. Yeah, I don't remember such things. I only remember what happened 5 minutes ago. I'm kind of old. And so he says, let the world act that way. There are all kinds of divisions. They're enemies of the cross. Their God is their stomach. Our God is the actual God. Their glory is their shame. Our glory is in Christ. They're going to hell. They claim to know God, but by their actions they deny them. You know, the world takes different forms in different places. In Europe, it's like blatant paganism.
En Europe, par exemple, c'est vraiment une vie païenne, vraiment sans excuse.
And atheism.
Et l'athéisme en Europe.
In the United States, the world,
aux États-Unis, le monde entier,
is like money and property and cars.
Et l'argent, les maisons, les voitures.
In Cameroon, sometimes the world,
au Cameroun, parfois, le monde entier,
is being a Christian.
C'est un chrétien.
You know what I mean? It's being kind of religious.
C'est religieux.
It's the prosperity gospel.
La prospérité.
It's saying hallelujah and praise the Lord.
Alléluia, louez le Seigneur.
And go to church on Sunday. But in this part of the world, that's the world actually. Here the world is religious. But we're different than the world. God has made us righteous. We're pressing on. And we're living on resurrection power. I'm going to finish out in Philippians 3, 20 and 21. He says, our citizenship is in heaven. Now, according to this document, it says, my citizenship, is the United States of America. Not true. You and I, we're part of the same nation. We're one in Christ. Because if you're in Christ, nothing else matters. Now, I admit it. If we're having the Olympics, you know? And if Cameroon plays the USA, I root for the USA.
Je vais supporter les États-Unis.
And you root for Cameroon.
Et tu vas supporter le Cameroun.
That's awesome.
Ça, c'est formidable.
Because that doesn't mean anything. Only the things that matter, those are the things we're united in. We don't put down roots here. Because we already put the world behind. Life in the kingdom is like living on a bridge.
La vie dans le royaume, c'est comme vivre sur un pont.
We left the old place.
On a quitté l'ancien endroit.
We're not in the new place yet.
Nous sommes pas arrivés à la destination.
We're in heaven already.
Nous sommes au ciel déjà.
But not yet.
Mais vraiment pas encore.
Do you plant a tree on a bridge?
Est-ce qu'on plante un arbre sur un pont?
Not really. There's not enough dirt there.
Non, parce que ça va pousser.
We're not putting down roots here.
Nous ne sommes pas en train de nous enraciner.
Our home is in heaven.
Notre avenir est devant.
Our constitution is Matthew 5 through 7.
Notre constitution, c'est Matthieu 5, 6 et 7.
Our king is Jesus Christ.
Notre roi, c'est Jésus-Christ.
And we're waiting.
Et nous attendons.
We're eagerly expecting the return of Christ. And when Christ comes back, it is going to make everything new. Thank you very much. Good job. Oh, I guess I still need that, don't I? Thank you.
Amen, brothers.
Well,
the time.
Probably will need that password for a little while.
Huh? Huh?
So you probably will need that password.
Yeah, well, they still think it's true.
Parce que Dieu veut qu'on pense selon la, comme l'enfant de Dieu. Amen. Notre pays, c'est pas ici, mais c'est au ciel. Amen. Dieu est puissant, il est grand, c'est pour les êtres humains de faire un travail communal. Dans cette classe, les deux frères vont partir.